Let's get started. It's 8:02. First of all, before we really get started, I'm just going to put in the chat a shameless plug for myself. The Kollel is running their annual campaign. I would imagine many people in the chat have already given. But if you have not, and you want to help me not be too embarrassed and come like not so far from reaching my goal, you know, get every dollar counts. You know, honestly, if anybody gives a dollar, I'll be thrilled. So I'll just put that out there. Kollel does great things. And they'll continue, Mirtz Hashem, to do lots of great things with the support of everybody in the Chicago community. Tonight's shir, we bezchus refuah shleima, continued refuah shleima. I got good updates, actually, of both of these names, Yaakov Noam ben Chava Tila, a boy from Skokie, who had emergency surgery, but I spoke to his brother, who's in my class today, in Baruch Hashem. The surgery went the way the doctor said it could not have gone any better. So Baruch Hashem, he's expected to make a full recovery, which is very exciting. And then literally as I was putting my phone on airplane mode, I got a text from the grandfather of this baby boy we've been learning B'schus Refuah Shleima for, Refuah Yisrael Dov Ben Avigail Lea, who just came home from the hospital today after being in the hospital for, I think, over a month. So both of them should have a continued Refuah Shleima B'schus Shar Chole Yisrael. One note I don't know what we call this, logistics or whatever it may be. We have one more topic in the Hilchos after tonight. We'll have one more week of Hadlakos Neros. And then we'll be moving on in Mirtz Hashem. I think what we could do, again, we can put this up to a vote. If people have any topics that they want to explore in Hilchos Shabbos, please email me. mstromer@icja.org. M as in mayor, Stromer, my last name, at Ida Crown Jewish Academy, icja.org. And let me know what topics you're interested in. But I thought one of two options. I thought maybe, like the next transition from Halakos Neiros, we can talk about Kiddush and Hamotzi, Lechem Mishnah, and things like that. Things related to Seudas Shabbos. And then the other topic, which is a much larger topic, would be getting into Bishul and exploring Hilchos Bishul on Shabbos. Part of me thinks that Bishul is such a big topic, it's such a large topic, that maybe that we would save that for maybe doing something in person. I don't know, I kind of have this dream of maybe getting together on a Monday or on a Tuesday night, whatever it may be, in a shul, kins, whatever it may be. Again, people live in different places, I understand that. But I also think that when we're together and learning in a chabura, in a more of a real fashion, I think the learning is even more elevated. And I think that can add a lot. And I think learning bishul together in that type of venue would enhance the learning tremendously. Again, if it's not possible, I totally understand. And for different, you know, COVID concerns, whatever it may be, if it's not possible, then we can do it on Zoom. But I was throwing it out there. We can continue with the halachas of Kiddush, halachas of Lechem Mishnah, and Seudas Shabbos, things like that. Or we can take on a more ambitious, I would say, limud, that being Bishul. So if you have any thoughts, you can put in the chat, you can tell me, you can email me, you can write me a letter, whatever you want, and we'll move on from there. Okay, so tonight's topic is lighting with electricity. Lighting with electricity. Again, it's related very much to the holiday that we just finished in Hanukkah. But let's take a step back for a second. Baruch Hashem, we've learned many times already, probably I would say the majority of the weeks we've learned together, we've come across this machlokes, or this, let's say, the two sides of the same coin of kavod and oneg Shabbos, with regards to lighting Shabbos candles, and not just that, but there's also this added notion of shalom bayis, not stepping on anything, not hurting yourself, knowing where you're going. So that's an added component. So halakas ner Shabbos really have at least three components. The Gemara, it really Tosfos and Masechta Shabbos as an interesting discussion. Now, hopefully there was a source sheet sent out. This is not on the source sheet, but I wanted to share with you outside. Tosfos in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Chaf Hei Amud Beis, 25b, tells us that if there's a candle lit in the house, we're not required to blow it out. I'll just read you the words here from a small Gemara I have in front of me. If there is already a candle that's lit, we're not required to extinguish it, to blow it out. We don't need to blow it out and relight it or light another candle if there is a light that's already there. So there's no reason to go ahead and blow it out. Whereas Rabbeinu Tam, one of the other Bali Tosos, is quoted at the very end of Tosos. If there is a candle, a pre-existing flame or a light that's already there in the house, so we're obligated to extinguish that flame and relight. And what it comes down to is this machlokes between Tosfos and Rabbeinu Tam could be a machlokes of Tosfos holds it's about having lights on your house. It's a practical, we need lights to see. Whereas Rabbeinu Tam holds it's a din in actually going ahead and lighting candles. And I think that that machlokas in Tosfos is actually very much aligned with the machlokas we've been stating beforehand. Right? We quoted from the Brisker Rav and others that the distinction between Kavod Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos is that Kavod Shabbos is before Shabbos. You're doing something in anticipation for Shabbos. That sounds, it almost aligns more with Rabbeinu Tam. You have to have a Maisa Hadlaka, you have to do something, you have to light the candle. You can't just have the candles going straight into Shabbos. But then there's, on the other hand, this notion of Oneg Shabbos. That we have candles lit, that the house is illuminated, you know where you're going, and you can see what you're eating. That perhaps aligns more with Tosfos, who says you just have to have light on in the house, and you fulfill kind of this notion of Oneg Shabbos. So I thought that was like a nice machlokas in Tosfos that aligns very much with what we've been learning so far up until here. Now the question that we have is, let's say you go away for a Shabbos, right? This probably happens, I would say, more in a hotel or something like that where you're not allowed to light candles and you don't know what to do and you're kind of stuck. So you use the light bulbs that are there. I had students last year, I think it was last year at this point, where we spoke about using an electric menorah. And then throughout Hanukkah, in our class WhatsApp group, everyone was texting pictures of the different places they saw electric menorahs. It's like a cute way that we continued the learning. It was very nice. But it happens not just on Hanukkah, it happens on Shabbos also. Now, parenthetically, I'll just note, and I'm very excited about this, because I spoke to one of my rabbis, Rabbi Michael Tabbis, who's a massive Talmud Chacham in New Jersey. He's a Rav in YU and in Teaneck. And I also spoke to Rabbi Reis Shlita, because my parents went away, my father had a conference in Arizona, whatever it was, a few weeks ago, and it was throughout the week, and they ended up staying for Shabbos. So my mother went with my father, and she brought two tea lights for Shabbos. Two tea lights. So my mom is the type of person who doesn't like to do anything that's against the rules, you know, she follows the rules, things like that. So she called the front desk, she says, I have these tiny two little tea lights, can I light them for the Sabbath? I don't know what she said. So initially the woman at the front desk said, I think that's fine, which is surprising. But then she called her manager, and the manager actually said, no, we don't light random little fires in the room. So the person called back my mother and said, yeah, it's best if you don't light tea lights. Now, I was thinking, again, I don't know if anybody has ever done this. I don't know if anybody knows anybody in the hotel industry. I was going to call a buddy of mine before this year started. I didn't get around to it. But I wonder if you call the hotel front desk and you say, can I light a scented candle in my room? I feel like scented candles are more mikuba, more ragil, and maybe they would allow a person to light a scented candle in the room. Then the question is, are you allowed to... I'm getting a no. You're saying it's a crazy idea?
Probably not, because there's fire extinguishers in each room, and there's a sensor, and it would, which is why they won't let you light the candles. I had this issue many years ago with Hanukkah candles and what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it probably they wouldn't because of those sensors, and it would probably shoot up.
I'm with you. Yeah. Anybody else?
It would probably make the water go.
Right. I was wondering if like the scent of the candle almost hides the scent of the smoke. I don't know. I'm not sure, but this is like a thought I had that maybe you can use a scented candle. So the question is, are you allowed to use a scented candle for Halakos near Shabbos? So Rabbi Talbis and Rabbi Reis, they both said that they can't think of anything offhand that would make it a problem. The Gemara, the Mishnayos talk about lighting near Shabbos with things that smell bad, but something that smells good wouldn't be a problem. So next time you're at a hotel on Shabbos, please try it and let me know what they say. I mean, don't try it. Ask them first, and then try if they say yes. That's what I mean. Anyway, getting back to the story here, the question now is, so what do? You're in a hotel, you can't light candles. The big question is, are you allowed to light Halakos Ner Shabbos with using an electric light? So if you have the email that was sent out earlier today, so it's a one-page double-sided, and really it all comes from the Sefer Yechaved Da'as. What I decided to do tonight, instead of copying and pasting parts of the Gemara and things like that, I really, for the most part, just copy and pasted a tshuva of Rav Avadja Yosef. Rav Avadja Yosef was one of the greatest Sephardi poskim, probably the greatest Sephardi poskim in like this generation, last generation. He knew everything. He had a photographic memory. Every single thing he ever learned, he remembered. Right? I remember hearing a story once, and he learned everything also. Every single Sefer that ever came out, he learned it and he knew it. And he quoted it. If you look at his tshuvas, he quotes and quotes and quotes. It's really mind-boggling. We're going to learn from the Sefer Yechaveh Da'as tonight. Yechaveh Da'as is a 6-volume set right here. They republished it. It looks a little bit nicer now. It's a nice red. But anyway, this was actually all based on a radio show that he did on Motzei Shabbos. If I remember correctly, the people would call and ask questions, and he would just off the cuff, you know. And some of these tshuvas have, quote, 40 sources or more. It's really mind-boggling what he knew. And it's not just what he knew. He never stopped. He would always be learning, and he was always plugging away, despite the fact that he knew it all already, which is pretty, it's an amazing thing. Anyway, so he says here like this. He's asked, this is from Chilek Hei, Simen Chaf Dalet. So volume 5, tshuva number 24, She'ela. Is one yotze, do they fulfill their obligation of lighting near Shabbos by using electricity? Or does one really need to light with oil or with wax and nothing else? So he quotes, he says like this, here's the tshuva. And again, hopefully everybody has this in front of them. If you don't have it, again, I'm going to read it slowly, and I'll translate. And if, again, if you didn't hear me say it, please feel free to unmute yourself and tell me to repeat or say something again, whatever the case may be. So he quotes from the beginning, Hagon Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkis in his Tshuvas Beis Yitzchak, where he paskins, She yotzim yidei chovas hadlakas neros Shabbos b'mor chashmal. So he says like this, Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkis in the Beis Yitzchak says that a person actually fulfills their obligation by lighting with an electric, with a light bulb. Umavarchim alav, and not only are you yotze, you're allowed to make the bracha asher kedeshanu b'mitzvos avitzivanu lahadlik ner shel Shabbos. He calls that a real maisa hadlaki. He calls that lighting. Shekol maor hamachuber lipsilas shemen oshava nikra ner, because he says the light, the flame that's connected to the wick, that's within the shemen, in the oil or the wick, or the wax, excuse me, is called the ner, right? In halacha, I think he's going to say this in just a second, afkan, shahama'or nitla b'chute ha'chashmal nikra ner. So he says, so too here, where is the light? He says the light is almost emanating from or coming off of, radiating from, I guess we'd even say, the metal filament that's inside the bulb. V'ro'i livracha, and you're able to make a bracha. Umikol shekin, and he says, and even more so, shiyotzim yedei chovas hadlakas neros begas shiyesh lo ikir. And he says you'd even be able to make a shiyotzim yedei chovas hadlakas neros. You're able to fulfill your obligation of ner Shabbos with this with a gas bulb. I'm not familiar what a gas bulb is, but he makes it sound like that it would count. Again, electricity is going to be okay. Ulam, he points out, however, there are those who disagree. He quotes Rav Mordechai Winkler in his Sefer Levushe Mordechai, who paskins she'in yotzim yidei chovas hadlaka b'neros chashmal ki tzarech liyos shemen upsila dafka li'ikuva. Very interestingly, the Levushe Mordechai says, no, you have to light with oil and a wick, and that's li'ikuva, right? That's make it or break it. If you don't have a oil and a wick, it doesn't count for ner Shabbos. So, before we continue, it's actually really interesting that we're quoting Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkis, who comes out Likula, saying we're allowed to light near Shabbos with electric lights. And the reason for that is, and this was, again, we were going to learn this other tshuva last week, but there's a lot of scheduling conflicts, and I'm sorry about that. But he has a tshuva here, Rav Avadja is a tshuva in Chelek Dalid Simin Lamed Ches, so volume 4, tshuva number 38, where he discusses whether or not your yotze hadlakas near Chanukah with a Chanukiah that's electric, one of these ones that we see in the mall or whatever it may be, an electric menorah. And he quotes in here the same exact tshuva from Rav Shmelkis, again, in the Beis Yitzchak, where he actually says, you're not allowed to light a menorah with an electric menorah. You can't use electricity to fulfill your obligation for Ner Chanukah. But, we just said a second ago, that he says you are allowed to use it for Ner Shabbos. So what's the difference? So in this tshuva, he explains why it doesn't fly for Ner Chanukah. So this is what, again, this is the Beis Yitzchak, and Rav Avadja is going to have what to say on it. But everyone bear with me here. I'm not going to read it inside, but I'll just tell you his two reasons why he says an electric menorah is no good. Is number one, he says you got to have olive oil, or at least he writes, olive oil is the ideal. And if olive oil is the ideal, you really shouldn't be lighting with an electric menorah. That's number one. Number two, he says it's not clear that they're l'shem ner Chanukah, right? If you light with electric, well, you know, you use electricity all the time, so what's going to distinguish you flicking on the lights for ner Chanukah versus if you're going to be, you know, turning lights down in the room? Those are his two svaros. Rav Avadja does not like this at all. Because number one, it's only a mitzvah min amuvchar. It's only ideal to use olive oil. But you're allowed to use other things for your Ner Chanukah. Many people use wax candles, and that's not a problem at all. Right? Okay, ideally to use olive oil, but to say he has to use olive oil, and therefore you can't use electric menorahs, Rav Avadya didn't like that, number one. And number two, he didn't like this notion of saying that there's this clear hecker, there's no distinction, right? Or I should say like this, it's indistinguishable from the rest of the year by turning on the lights. He says, first of all, the shape of the menorah is fundamental. No one uses a candelabra in the shape of a menorah the entire year. Not only that, people usually put their menorah in a different spot, whether it's by the windowsill, whether it's by the front door, people have different minhagim, but that's not where we normally place our lamps. So Rav Avadya doesn't like that. It happens to be Rav Avadya has other reasons why you shouldn't be using an electric menorah. He says, first of all, using an electric menorah doesn't really provide a zecher l'nes. The whole nes was on the pach shemen, and by using oil or olive oil, ideally, so that's a real zecher l'nes. And not only that, that's a partial answer, and his more fundamental one is that the neros on Chanukah that we light have to be similar to the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's really what he gets at. He quotes many Rishonim, the Rashba and the Ran and others, who point out that in the Baal Me'or, that the notion of our, or not the notion, but the concept and the way in which we light Ner Chanukah is supposed to resemble the lighting in the Beis HaMikdash. So Rav Avadya Paskins, again, he agrees that you're not allowed to use electric menorah, but he disagrees in the reasoning. Now, again, why am I bringing this all in? First of all, because we just finished Chanukah. We're trying to hold on to Chanukah a little bit, right? This is our Ni'ilas HaChag a little bit. But not only that, it's fascinating because the parallel is not true. The Beis Yitzchak we just quoted, Rav Avadya just quotes the same exact tshuva, but the other part of the tshuva where he says you're allowed to use electricity for your Ner Shabbos, and not just use it, but you're actually able to make a full-fledged bracha on your light bulbs. Let's continue in the second paragraph. V'yesh laheir kitzas medivri ha-gemara tainis chafhei. I'm a drop behind in Daf Yomi. I'm not sure if that's today's daf or tomorrow's daf, something like that. Let me actually just check my calendar. Today's Monday. Monday's chaf dalet. So tomorrow's daf. I'm up to yesterday's daf chaf gimel. Tomorrow's daf. If anybody's husband or if anybody here is doing Daf Yomi, you can tell them you already know tomorrow's daf. Tomorrow's daf has a well-known story about Rav Chanina ben Dosa. Because the Maisa says, Rav Chanina ben Dosa on the first line, second paragraph, Sherah es bito b'leil Shabbos kishihi atzuva. He walks in from shul Friday night and he sees his daughter crying. She's very sad. Amr la, biti mipnei ma at atzuva. Why are you so sad? Amr la, she says to him, kli shel chometz nischalif li b'kli shel shemen. I accidentally used the vinegar instead of the oil for Ner Shabbos. V'hidlakti mimenu or l'Shabbos. And I lit the vinegar for Ner Shabbos. So Amr la, he says to her, biti, ma ichpavach, like, what do you care? Misha Amar l'shemen v'yidlok, hu yomar l'chometz v'yidlok. Right? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants oil to light, so he can also choose vinegar, and he can also make vinegar light. I mean, a lot of people talk about this Gemara in terms of recognizing what's nature and what's beyond, or l'mala menatev, what's beyond nature, and recognizing that Hashem runs everything, things that are extraordinary and things that we perceive, let's say, as ordinary. It's all miyad Hashem. I think there's a line from the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish says that Nature is miraculous, but we're used to it. Aligned to that effect, right? Like, who's to say that oil should light? So this is what Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa is telling his daughter. So Tana hayadolik v'holich kol hayom kulo ache aviu mimeno or la havdala. And the Gemara says that this candle stayed burning until the end of Shabbos, where they got a new candle for havdala. Says Rav Avadya l'chora kasha. This Gemara seems to be a little bit difficult, though. Why? Shem habracha shal neros Shabbos. Again, this seems like he's going to be asking a question on the Levushe Mordechai. If you're telling me that the whole institution of Ner Shabbos and the bracha we make on it ought to be on candles of oil or at the very least wax, so Dayan Hayalal Hisatsev, she still should have been sad. Right? His words shouldn't have provided any sort of nechama. Al Shibircha Bracha Levatala, because at the end of the day, she made a Bracha Levatala. Your bracha was incorrect because your lighting was incorrect. Says Rav Avadya, at the end of the day, what's the ikr component of Ner Shabbos? There needs to be light, something that gives off light. And says Rav Avadya, she was yotze her hadlakas Ner Shabbos, and we would also be yotze our hadlakas Ner Shabbos with using electricity. Any questions, comments, anything like that up until here? Everybody with me so far? Robin, you have a question?
All right, sorry, I had on mute. Since we don't, the decision was made some years ago that electricity was akin to fire, and that's why we don't use it on Shabbos. So I would think that because of that, we'd be, would, from that perspective, be able to use it both for Shabbos and for Hanukkah. I'm not advocating for it, it just seems like logically.
Right. So I hear what you're saying. So Rav Avadja provides reasons why, I guess, it wouldn't fly for Chanukah, right? He wants oil because Zeich Lanes and Doma to the menorah and the Beis HaMikdash. And maybe that's enough of a reason that the Bama'or, the Rashba, the Ran, and others we quote say that it wouldn't work for Ner Chanukah. But Rav Avadja seems to be going along, and we're going to see where he's going to end up saying that exactly like you're saying, that a light bulb can be sufficient for Ner Shabbos. Now, there are differences in terms of light bulbs. I don't know a whole lot, but I can watch a couple of YouTube videos that explain the difference, which I did, and if we want, we can show them. Maybe I'll do a share screen soon. The differences between incandescent and fluorescent and LEDs, there is a little bit of a difference, and we're going to see in just 1 second that you're... I want to read it inside, because you're mechaving to a really cool point that the Brisker Rav had. Let's take a look in part number two, after the where it says number two, whether or not you can use... is a light bulb considered ish? He says, "V'tabit inai lahagon Reb Shimon Grunfeld in his Shalos and Chuvos the Maharshag in Chelik Beis." So let's look at what the Maharshag writes. "Shinishal bezev v'kasav lo uchal lomar davar borer benidonza." He says, "I don't really have a clear answer for us. Ki in any baki b'tiva inyan she'ora chashma." He's like, "I really don't fully understand how light bulbs work." Which, first of all, is an awesome statement from one of the Gaonim, one of the great poskim. He's saying, "I don't know." You know, my Rebbeim always tell me that the most important thing you have to know after you get smicha is I don't know. They always say that. The most important thing a Rav needs to know. It's okay to say you don't know. But he writes, "Ubahashkaf rishona, at first glance, nearly she'in yotzim b'zeyidei chovas ha'adlaka ki orze einenu shel heves." There is no flame. So I would assume, he writes, that it's probably not okay. "Ve'in yechom lahadik menu davar." And you're not able to really light anything. You're not able to take a flame from it. It doesn't seem to work. "Umashim meir hu koach ne'elam." That which it gives off, the light that it kind of gives off, is a koach ne'elam. It's like a hidden koach that it has. And v'higi ba'atzmecha harei yesh avonim tovos hami'iros b'layla. So that's like, he goes weiter, where he talks about almost like the tzohar nasa l'teva, right? If you had a special stone that gave off light, would that count? If you set those up on Shabbos, so he gets into that. But take a look at the next paragraph. "Ube'emes nir midivarov shel birebi." I don't know if that's a typo there. "She'eno baki klal b'inyan chashva." No, I think that's maybe I mistyped it, but he's referring to the Marashag who said he wasn't a baki. "Kashir heyed al atzmo v'ha'emes kfi she'eskimo gidolei ha'achron b'zmaninu she'achashma hu ish bo'eres." He says that was the Marashag. He says now we're privy to a little bit more information about how, at least in this case, an incandescent bulb would be working. And he says, "We paskin that it's actually an ish, and you're chayiv, like you pointed out, for havara. Havara means to kindle a flame on Shabbos. We're not allowed to do that. V'hamadik near chashmal b'Shabbos. So someone who lights an electric light, or any sort of light on Shabbos, is chayiv min haTorah mishem lo sivaru ish b'chol moshvoseichem b'yom haShabbos." The pasuk says you're not allowed to kindle a fire on Shabbos. And check out the list, right? You call this like the A-listers of gedolei Haposkim of the previous generation. He quotes the Satmar Rav. I'll just read the ones in bold. He quotes the Melamed Lahoil, right, one of the great poskim from Germany. He quotes Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski. He quotes the Chazon Ish. He quotes Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin. All of these poskim, all these gedolim are in agreement that an electricity turning on like a light bulb on Shabbos is going to be considered a real Maisa Havara, a real kindling of a fire, where a person is Chayiv Min HaTorah. And he quotes at the very end of this paragraph, after he quotes the Rugged Shavar also, the third to last line, this is exactly what you were saying, where the Shailos and Chuvos Nachla Shimon quotes Rav Chaim Brisker. He says, "I witnessed, I testify, that Rav Chaim Brisker hayenoeg levarech b'motzoi Shabbos borei me'orei ha'esh al ora chashmal." Right? He wanted to show just how much we hold that turning on a light is going to be considered a Maisa Havara, that he wouldn't use a candle for Avdallah, but there were times there he would actually use just a light bulb. We flip on the switch, and he'd say, "Borei Moreish, kedei lahotzi milev hatoim, to show that there are those who are mistaken, Shechoshim She'in Achashma B'chlal Iser Havaras Ish B'Shabbos Min HaTorah. Dafka to show that this is Mamish Afire. I was just talking to Rabbi Reis before we started, and I forgot, I'm trying to remember who else he quoted besides Ruchaim Brisker. I forget who he quoted. I feel terrible. Should have wrote it down. But one of the other Gedolei Achronim, was it the Rogachev or no? No, I think it was Rav Chaim Ozer. Excuse me. I think he said Rav Chaim Ozer, if I remember correctly, also would do this for Havdalah to show again just how seriously we take turning on a light on Shabbos. Now, he says here in the next paragraph, or, you know, after we space it out, after number three. Again, if pressing or flipping the switch, is that really considered a Maisa Hadlaka, though? Okay? V'amnon gam b'shut pekudas elazar. Again, there's Svarim that I've learned about from learning the Tshuvas of Rav Avadja. I would have never even heard of many of these names. But he writes, l'fakfik benidon shalano. He's not sure about this. Mishim she'in kan pu'ulas hadlaka mamish. Right? He says there's no actual lighting or kindling of a flame. Right, it's for this reason, I don't know if he's going to quote this, I don't remember offhand, but Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, one of the Gedolei Yerushalayim of two generations ago, if I'm not mistaken, he was the grandfather of Hannah Sachs. I don't know if anybody here will confirm that. I'm pretty sure it was the grandfather, not the father, of Hannah Sachs. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank was a gon, a tremendous Talmud Chacham in Yerushalayim, and he has the same idea when it comes to Havdalah. He didn't like saying Borei Ma'orei Ha'esher. He said, there's no real fire there. Yeah, the filament gets hot. If I remember correctly, he was very not into the notion of... right, he said, you need a real Maisa Hadlaka, and without the Maisa Hadlaka, he felt like you can't really make the bracha. But anyway, getting back to the Pekudas Elazar that Rav Avadja is quoting, let's look at the second line here. And again, this is the bottom paragraph of the first side of the page. He says, Rak, Shu Rak Poseach HaKaftor V'Haor Yotze Me'atzmo. You're kind of... what's it called? Allowing the electrical current to come in, and, but it's all there. You're not really doing anything. Uladas Rabbeinu Tam v'aposkim ha-hadlaka hi ikar mitzvah. And for sure, according to Rabbeinu Tam and the Tosas we quoted at the very beginning of this year, that the Maisa Hadlaka is the ikar thing here. And you lack a Maisa Hadlaka because you didn't do anything. Ulam, however, lefi ha-mavur le'el b'shem kol ha-gedolim, says Rav Avadja, but if you look at the laundry list of gedolim that we quoted in the previous paragraph, Shamad the Khashmo Shabbos Chayv Min HaTorah Mishim Mavir Eish B'Shabbos Yish Lo Mochu Hadlaka Gemura. If you look at the list of all those Gedolim who say that electricity on Shabbos with an incandescent bulb is a Maisa Hadlaka Min HaTorah, so if we hold that what? If we hold that you're Chayv Mida Oraisa for lighting that on Shabbos, for turning it on, so for sure, again, pressing, flipping the switch is going to be the same. Right? So every chumrah has a kula. If we're being machmir on Shabbos to say that you're not allowed to do this because it counts as a real maisa hadlaka, you're kindling a real bona fide fire, so then lakula on Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to do this on Erev Shabbos and it would count for your maisa of hadlakas near Shabbos. Now, there is a little bit of a concern raised in the poskim. I think my sister and my mother are on the Zoom. They come to the shir. There was just a big blackout in Teaneck the other night. People post on Instagram, whatever it is, I assume. Like the pictures that people posted on the internet looked very pretty, you know, because it was a blackout in the house and the only light they had were the Hanukkah candles on the eighth night. It was very pretty. But how does it work with regards to Hilchos Shabbos? On the second side of the page, he quotes the Mishpatei Uziel, who writes, Shabbos Shadavar Motzoi Shema'or Achashmu Olo Lechavos Lepeta Be'emza Asu'uda. There are times where you might have a blackout. It's totally out of your control. You can't do anything. Aide Kilko B'tachanat HaKawach O B'Kable HaChashmali. A cable can come down in the backyard when a tree falls. Or the power grid, something can happen. It's totally out of your control. V'nimsa Mizbatel Me'oneg Shabbos V'lachin In Yotzen B'zei Yidei Chovas Hadlokas Neros Shel Shabbos. So he quotes in the Mishpatei Uziel, who says that you can't be Yotze, Hadlakas Ner Shabbos, with an electric bulb, because what happens if there's a blackout? Again, a line can come down, the power grid, something can get messed up, Kamed, who knows? And because of that, it's not Batuach, it's not secure, it's not definite, and he feels like you can't do that. Now, you could ask a very plushy question, and I think Rav Avadja points this out. There are many times I come home from shul Friday night, and one or two or more of the candles have been blown out. Right? So you're going to tell me that you can't be Yotze, your halakha is near Shabbos, because maybe it'll go out? again, maybe at the time this Mishpatei Uziel was writing, it was much more frequent that there'd be blackouts. But Bizman Hazeh, there's no real day-to-day concern that there's going to be a blackout. It's not like on our minds, like, ooh, I don't know if the electricity is going to go out today. So Rav Avadja continues, Ulam nira ki lafi hamatzav kayom in makom lachshash azo berov kikol hamakomos. Says Lamaisa, Rav Avadja says exactly what we just said. This is not a bona fide concern. That's not a legitimate concern. Shein hafsaka zeram hachashma mitzuya ela rakli itim rechokim rechokos meod. The likelihood of a blackout is so far, you know, and it's just not shayach. It's not something that's on our radar. We're not concerned for that. Ve'im banu lachush lezeh. And if we were concerned that there was going to be a constant blackout, there are many times that candles end up getting blown out. So if you're going to tell me that by chance the electricity might go out, so then I can come back and say, the candles might get blown out as well. And he says specifically, again, there's no end to this. And what are you ever going to use for Ner Shabbos? Says Rav Avadja, an important rule: we're not concerned for a miut, for something that's so unlikely. Right? We're not gonna take that into account. That happens to be though the Mishpatei Uziel was not the only person who felt that. The Shmirah Shabbos quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who felt again that there is a concern that it might go out. I think Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva also, where he says again it's a little bit out of your control. Because that it can go out. And because of that, Rav Moshe felt that you should never make a bracha even on an incandescent bulb. Rav Shechter, Shlita, and many other poskim, Rav Avadja, and others say that you're allowed to, and this is really the tshuva that we're getting with. Rav Avadja is dealing with incandescent bulbs, so you really are allowed to make a bracha with an incandescent bulb. Let's finish the tshuva, and then maybe we'll get to what I was about to say in terms of the halach lamais of poskim bizmaninu. Let's look at number five, just in terms of time. Mikol makom nira shekol she'efshar limtzo niro shemen o shava adif yoser latzeis pem yidei chovas hadlakas haniro shel Shabbos ulevarech aleim b'li shem pikbuk. Says Rav Avadja, even though we've just explained why we're really allowed to use electricity or a light bulb for Ner Shabbos, at the end of the day, it's obviously, he says, more ideal to use a ner, a candle. V'gam mipnei sheyesh behem heker miyuchad shenasu lekavod Shabbos. He says that you get the added factor that this is clearly for kavod Shabbos. V'rak kishein efsharos klal lahasig ner Hashem no shava. For whatever reason, you're a hotel or you ran out of candles and it's the second before Shabbos. Yachal levarech lahadik ner Shabbos b'morach hashmol. Then you'd be able to use electricity. So ideally, use candles. If you can't, so then he says, yeah, you can use a light bulb. So again, Rav Avadja, and again, all those poskim who he quoted are in favor. You're allowed to make a bracha lahadlik ner on electricity, on a light bulb, on an incandescent light bulb, whereas some others say it's not okay. Now, why do some others say it's not okay? So we quoted the Mishpatei Uziel, the Shmir Shabbos, and Rav Moshe Feinstein hold that, again, there's this concern of a blackout. There are concerns that, what's the other concern from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach? Let me see, I'm forgetting offhand. 1 second, everyone. Sorry. Not Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Rav Moshe say that there's concern of the power grid. Rav Zilberstein is quoted as saying that there's no real Maisa Hadlaka. He felt that you turning on the flick is not like a bona fide Maisa Hadlaka. And they say even on an incandescent bulb, you would not be able to make a bracha. Rav Shechter, Rav Willig, and many other poskim, Rav Avadja, all say you can make a bracha on incandescent, whereas Rav Moshe and the Shmir Shabbos say you shouldn't make it on an incandescent bulb. When it comes to fluorescent, or let's say LED lights, so many poskim say with regards to LED lights, you shouldn't make a bracha because there's no metal filament, and it's not a real Maisa Hadlaka. I spoke to Rav Reis before the shir, and he told me that his Mesorah from Rav Gedai Dov Schwartzetzal is that there's this notion of Safek Brachos Lohakel, right? Anytime you're misupuk, anytime you're in doubt with regards to a particular bracha, you go err on the side of caution. And because of that, Rav Schwartz told Rabbi Reis that he felt if a person is in a circumstance in which they won't have Ner Shabbos, meaning an actual Ner, an actual candle, and they're using a light bulb, so he felt that even if it's an incandescent bulb, one should not make a bracha, because he felt it was a suffix shalim, meaning you have real gedolim on both sides of the fence, right? You have the list that Rav Avadja quoted, but you have Rav Moshe, you have the Shmir Shabbos, so you have real bona fide poskim and gedolim saying you shouldn't, and because of that, Rabbi Schwartz felt that it's best to kind of be misalik, to remove yourself from the machlokas, to light, meaning by turning it on, but not making a bracha. And by not making a bracha, that's okay. Suffik bracha was halakha. You still accomplish the mitzvah of having the candles lit. Okay. Any last questions, comments? Any ha'aros? No. Okay. So I'll just ask again, next time you're at a hotel, let's look into this question of lighting a scented candle, because I think that could be a gevaldige etza in terms of circumventing this whole issue of having to rely on the light bulbs. And again, most light bulbs we find bismanazet anyway are going to be LED, so it's not really a question of whether or not you should or should not for an incandescent, although ask your local Orthodox rabbi to hear what they have to say about that. But most LED lights we wouldn't be making a bracha on. And again, we have this maybe potential move of lighting a scented candle. Okay. I hope everybody
have a question, Rabbi Stromer.
Yeah.
I used to volunteer at the hospital and before pre-COVID days. And on Fridays, all the Jewish patients would be given the tiny little electrical tea lights.
Yeah.
Challah and grape juice. And I used to get great questions from people like all backgrounds.
Yeah.
And I would always say, you need to check with your local rabbi. I can't give you the answer.
Good answer.
But I never really got the answer. And I guess maybe I should have got my rabbi